Well, good evening and welcome to the Brook Hill Church of Christ for our midweek Bible study. Appreciate all those here that are in attendance. Appreciate those that are listening online on YouTube. We appreciate so much you tuning in and being with us. I got a text message today from a friend of mine, Miss Wanda in Dyersburg, who listens on Wednesday. Her congregation doesn't have a Wednesday night class, so she's listening, and I know many others do. So we appreciate them tuning in. And we hope that your time with us is profitable. Thank you so much, as always, for tuning in and being with us. We're going to ask Brother Justin now, if he will, to lead us in our opening prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, so thankful for this another day that we have had to enjoy today and for all the many great blessings that we receive in it each and every day. And dear Heavenly Father, be with us that we will not take these blessings for granted, and we know that all good things come from you from above. Dear Heavenly Father, so thankful for the church at Brook Hill and for what we stand for. And dear Heavenly Father, be with us here tonight is that the things we study, that we can apply them to everyday walks of life, and that we can become stronger Christians and grow closer to you each and every day and be able to teach others your word before it's everlasting too late. Dear Heavenly Father, be with Paul tonight and give him ready remembrance of the things that he's going to present to us, that we can understand them and we can apply them to everyday walks of life. Dear Heavenly Father, be with those who are numbered that can't be with us because of other reasons, and those that are sick, and especially be with Brother Ricky Posey as he is undergoing difficulties this time. And dear Heavenly Father, be with the doctors that are ministering to him that he can have a speedy recovery and get back to his normal walks of life. Dear Heavenly Father, be with those who have lost loved ones, and comfort them if we know that you can through your word. Dear Heavenly Father, be with us through the remainder of service tonight, and by the things we say and do, be accepted in your sight, and forgive us all of our sins, and in the end, give us all a home in heaven with you. Prepare in Christ's name. Amen.
Use it. What about if we see somebody else who doesn't know And so that's what we try to tell them, and we might even invite them. Now, back in the Bible days, today, if someone was going to come with you, they'd come in your what? If you were going to bring a friend to church, what would he come in? You pick him up in your what? Your daddy's what? What'd your daddy do? He'd drive over and get it, but in the Bible, did they have vans? No. What did they have? What did they have?
Like horses.
Horses, and they had like a chariot sometimes. A chariot was just like a horse, like that. And a horse pulled somebody. Are you ready? Roll the gospel chariot along. Roll the gospel chariot along. Roll the gospel chariot along. And we won't lag along behind. But brother, if a brother's in the way, we will stop and pick him up. If a brother's in the way, we will stop and pick him up. If a brother's in the way, we will stop and pick him up. And we won't lag along behind. Sister, if a sister's in the way, we will stop and pick her up. If a sister's in the way, we will stop and pick her up. If a sister's in the way, we will stop and pick her up. And we won't lag along behind. The devil! If the devil's in the way, we will run right over him. If the devil's in the way, we will run right over him. If the devil's in the way, we'll run right over him. And we won't lag along behind. Okay, how many books in the whole Bible?
66.
And then how about in the Old Testament? Keep going.
34.
Keep going.
35.
Keep going. Keep going.
36.
Keep going. Go as far as you can. 39. You ready? Okay, here we go. Let's do the books of the Old Testament. You ready? Let us sing the books of Moses, of Moses. Moses, let us sing the books of Moses, for he wrote the law. First Genesis, then Exodus, third Leviticus, fourth Numbers, and fifth is Deuteronomy, the last of them all. Let us sing the books of history, of history, of history. Let us sing the books of history, which tell of the Jews, their Joshua, Judges, and the story of Ruth, and First and Second Samuel, and First and Second Kings, and First and Second Chronicles, which gives us the record, and Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther, the queen. Take a deep breath. Here we go. Let us sing the books of poetry. Of poetry, let us sing the books of poetry, the songs of you sang, Job the patience of the famous, and the proverbs of the wise man, and then Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Let us sing the major prophets, major prophets, major prophets, sing the major prophets, their plot books in all. Isaiah, Jeremiah, wrote Lamentations, and sing. God, very good. Let us sing the minor prophets, minor prophets, minor prophets. Let us sing the minor prophets, there's 12 of them all. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, good job, great job, great job. We'll keep practicing that. And just like all the songs, just like when we sing the fruits of the Spirit, we can get those. But let's do the New Testament real quick. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts in a letter to the Romans.
First and Second Corinthians.
Galatians and Ephesians. Philippians, Colossians,
First and Second
Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews, James, First and Second Peter, First and Second. And
Philip, Thomas, Matthew, Bartholomew. And then James, Simon, Thaddeus, and Judas. Okay? Now we're going to sing this to Jesus Loves Me too. So it'll take us a while to learn. There's different songs that you can use. I figured we use this one. That's probably the easiest one. We know the tune. You ready? Jesus called them one by one. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Next came Philip, Thomas, too. Matthew and Bartholomew. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. He called them one by one. James, the one they called the less. Simon, also Thaddeus. 12th apostle Judas made. Jesus was by him betrayed. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. Yes, Jesus called them. He called them one by one.
And that's how the Lord calls everybody. Now, he called the apostles, but when he calls us, he doesn't call us for the Smith family or the Jones family. He calls us individuals. And when we're old enough, and we keep learning when we're young, we get old enough, he calls us to come into his family and to become a Christian. Okay, let's sing our tiptoe song. Tiptoe, tiptoe in God's house. Tiptoe, tiptoe in God's house.
All right, we're going to sing the first and last verses. Sing to me of heaven. Sing to me of heaven, sing that song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so. Showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly drink of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven tenderly and low, till the shadows o'er me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven, let me fondly drink of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven's sweetest song of all.
Okay, our first verse is going to be Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Matthew chapter 12, and in verse 33, we continue our study now from the book of Proverbs and talking about wise, being wise, and the different things that the book of Proverbs teaches. Now, some of the classes that we'll have on Wednesday night, well, we've mentioned a little bit, sometimes I'll have a sermon, some of our themes for each month. Last week was how to be wise with our money. We'll also have a class on that, too, that kind of expounds on some of the things that we said and talks a little bit more about that. So sometimes you might say, well, we mentioned that in a sermon. That's right. We introduced it, hopefully in class. And for those who are listening that won't have a chance to listen to those lessons, it'll help them. Now, today we're going to talk for a few moments and in the next two classes on the use of the tongue. And the use of the tongue, the Bible teaches, old and new, can either give you life or give you death. And the use of the tongue can help others. It can give other people life, or else it can give them death. And it's physically and, of course, spiritually it's used. Matthew 12, this is how important our words are. Matthew 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Broad of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they'll give an account of it in the day of judgment. It talks about a good tree gives good fruit, common. A bad tree gives bad fruit. And whatever's in your heart, it'll be a good treasure could come out to somebody. Or if your heart's not right, it'll be a bad treasure. But at the end there, every idol, that's like even a, you know, it's not something that you've, an idol, it's like a, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Or maybe just something that slips out. Every word, not just big speeches. I always say this when I perform a wedding. I always say this because I remember Brother Cope used to say this at his weddings. He'd say to the people, he got a serious look in their eyes. He'd say, I want you to think for a moment and think about this. Because the vows you're about to take, you're going to meet God on Judgment Day and you're going to give an account of whether or not you kept them. So you better think before you answer. I could see him saying that. And then he'd say, do you such and such? Do you promise that, you know, that we'll go on with it? Those are big words. And those are big. That's a big, important time. And you're going to have to give an account. But even the little, I didn't mean to say that, or just something that you say about somebody that's not nice. Or on the other hand, something that's nice that you say about somebody. Your words, your speech is going to be judged. Never forget that. And by your words, usually actions follow. If you say something nice, a smile comes, maybe a hug comes, maybe help comes. If you say something mean, usually you're going to talk mean and you're going to, actions will follow with it. Proverbs 21 and 23. Proverbs 21. And remember, this book is addressed mostly to young people, because if you can learn to control your tongue when you're young, boy, you'll have a lot smoother life. But if you can't when you're young, you're going to be into a lot of trouble that you need not be in. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Now, the word soul there isn't just referring to the spiritual. It's really the physical body there. The soul, I mean your physical, what you breathe in and out. If you guard your mouth, boy, you won't get in trouble. People won't get upset with you. You won't say something that you regret and cause trouble. But it also, we'll take it to the spiritual. It guards your soul. It'll keep your soul. Therefore, we've got to make sure that our speech glorifies God. Now, what are the benefits? Why does God want us to have a wise tongue? Well, one of the reasons, of course, is because the world doesn't have a wise tongue. The world has a tongue that's proud, full of pride. It has a haughty kind of a tongue. It thinks about himself. But here's what we can do as Christians. Here's the benefit that if we'll have a wise tongue. First thing is, you'll be a blessing to everybody. It's a blessing to have a tongue that's wise. Look at Proverbs 25:11. Look what it's compared to. 25 and verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold. Now, in this area where this was written over in on the Bible lands there, a lot of lush fruit trees. That's why you see so many references to fruit trees and so forth in the Bible. Apples grow over there abundantly. So the people, even the poorest persons, knew about apples. And he says, I tell you what, if you have a wise tongue, your speech, I tell you what, it's worth more than an apple that's made out of gold. You're just a blessing. And a lot of times we like certain people that I love hearing that person. After you've ever said this, I just love hearing that person. After I hear him, you know what? I just feel better. Well, why do you feel better? Now, of course, maybe the person, male or female, they present something in a way that's enjoyable. But it's a godly way. It's a wise speech they've had, and it's a blessing. So the first thing, you'll be a blessing to others. You won't be a curse. You'll be a blessing. Second, wise speech calms people down. Look at Proverbs 15:1. Whenever there's an argument going on or discussion going on that turns into an argument, you have, what do most people do? Someone says, I tell you what, don't do that, Tim. Tim, you shouldn't do that. Tim will say, yes, I should. No, you shouldn't. What happens? It gets louder and louder and louder. But look at 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word causes anger. Wise speech. I tell you what, it calms people down. You say the right things at the right time. That's what you do. And if you don't, you're not going to calm people down. So it calms people down. Here's something else it does. It's pleasant to listen to. It is. 15:26. Look what it says. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant. I like being around that person. It's pleasant to be around a person. Sometimes you go someplace. You know, when if you go to a professional football game now, I haven't been to one for many years, but I remember going to the professional football game all around you, and I don't think this is an exaggeration from listening and hearing what people say. Everybody cusses all around you. Everybody cusses. And people will say, stop cussing. I got my wife here. I got my little children here. It doesn't stop them. They paid $100. They're going to cuss in their seat. And they're just yelling. And it's not pleasant to be around them. It's not pleasant because they're just yelling. A lot of times because alcohol is involved. It's not pleasant to be around. But the wise person, it's pleasant. It's nice. 15:13. Look what it says. 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. It's pleasant. It brings joy. People like to hear you. Here comes someone. Boy, I can't wait to hear what they have to say. In fact, 16:24, a very famous little verse. Look what it says. Pleasant words are what? Are like a honeycomb. Sweet to the soul and health to the bones. That's what wise words do. They're just pleasant. They help people. And sometimes they're just short. They don't have to be a long, drawn-out speech. I tell you something pleasant to hear. I love you. I love you. Three words. Here's one. You ready? You won't lose your breath. Here's pleasant. Thanks. Thanks. That's pleasant to hear. Someone who's cooked all day, worked all day, done something all day for you, and they give it to you. Thanks. Here's another one. It's pleasant to hear. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The person hearing it says, thank you. I didn't think you cared. I'm sorry. You see? Those are wise words, and they're pleasant to hear in all different situations. Here's something else, a benefit of having wise words. They always come with love. Even if it's correction, it's coming with love. And it's coming with love. Look at Ephesians, but we'll go to the New Testament, 4:15. Ephesians 4:15. One time we'll have a lesson, hopefully, coming up about wisdom literature, the proverbs that are found in the New Testament. There's lots of proverbs in the New Testament. And again, not written by Solomon, but I'm sure these writers were inspired, of course, by God, but also the idea comes from the Old Testament. Look at what it says in Ephesians 4:15. You ready? But speak the truth in love, and that you may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. The wise person uses their tongue, I tell you what, and they speak the truth, and it comes with love. When you speak the truth, that's like sometimes we say, have tact. If you know somebody's lost, eternally lost, and you've got to somehow talk to them and get across to them that they need to change, you got to have tact, and you got to have some love, and you have to have wisdom. And to say, again, wisdom comes with saying the right thing at the right time. Everybody doesn't need to hear something if it's directed to somebody. I got something directed at David. David needs to hear it. I don't need to tell everybody else. They don't need to tell everybody else. I need to tell David. And then when you go to your friend, you go with love. And you go with care. And even if you have to correct somebody, say, look, you can't do that anymore. You come with love. So wise speech always comes. That's the benefit. You're going to come with love to somebody. And wise speech teaches about God. First of all, you'll speak in a godly way. And not only that, it'll come with some wisdom with it. Look at 15:7. 15 and verse 7. Here's what it says. 15 and verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. The wise person, you teach people. The wise person says, you know, I never, after you said something, the wise person speaks, you say, you know what? I never thought of that before. And there's lots of wisdom even in little children. Yeah, again, we're not talking about someone who's studied for years and years and on any subject. Sometimes little children can say something that's really just wise. Beyond their years, sometimes we say. And so the wise tongue, it teaches about God. And it teaches about his wisdom. Look at Proverbs 8, 6 and 7. Proverbs 8. And then verse 6 and 7. Look what it says. Proverbs 8, verses 6 and 7. Listen, for I speak of excellent things. And from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. You see, when the wise person speaks, and it's about anything, any kind of subject that they might be bringing up, listen, they're going to say something that's excellent, something that you need to listen to. And it's going to be the right thing at the right time, because wisdom will do that, will help you. And you're going to speak the truth. You see, that's the idea of let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Yes, that's right. Because we're going to teach like God wants us to teach. And we're going to be wise with what we say. And a wise tongue, it rebukes sin. Proverbs 27 and verse 6 is one of my favorite verses. And I think that you can see how this is directed at young people. At young people. Look what it says. Well, let's look at verse 5. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. That's the idea. It's better for somebody to say, listen, you got to change what you're doing. It's better to say that. That's open rebukes out loud. And you're doing it because you love them. You're doing it. Say, no, Larry, I got to tell you something. You love them. That's better than saying, I love Larry, but I'm not going to talk to him. I love him, but I'm going to conceal it. I'm not going to tell Larry. No, if you love somebody, there's going to be a time for open rebuke. Now look at the next verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's what's going to happen. When you go to somebody, you're going to hurt them. Man, I didn't know I've had people come to me and say, Paul, you did this. I didn't mean that. Oh, man, I got it. Cut you to the bone. Cut you to your heart. Well, man, I better call and say something. I better tell them I'm sorry. I didn't know that. It cuts you. It wounds you. But the person's telling you because they're your friend and they love you. And they know it needs to be said. And that's better than what? The kisses of an enemy. The kisses of an enemy. And when you're young, you have so many people, young kids and teenagers, and as they get a little older, their friends just like you for certain things. They like you for your physical appearance, or they like you for your popularity. And those kind of, they really don't care about you. They just like you for what they can get and what you bring towards them. And that's why you be careful about the kisses that you get, all the flattery that other people give you. Because many times they don't want the best for you. They just want the best for themselves. Because sometimes, me and my daddy, he wasn't a religious kind of a person, but I remember one time he told me, he said, son, you watch out for people who always say good things about you and never something bad. Because you know you're not always good. And he didn't say it in a religious way, but for some reason, that's one of the few things I remember, many things that he said to me. Be careful. Look what it says in 19:18. Proverbs 19 and in verse 18. Look what it says. 19:18. Proverbs 19 and verse 18. So many verses. Chasten your son while there is hope. Do not set your heart on his destruction. And again, this is directed to the parents here. And I tell you what, you're going to have to tell your children, hey, you can't do that. And you do it while they're young. While they're young, you got to do it. And don't set your heart on this. Don't say, well, yeah, but if I do that, they won't like me. If I do that, this is going to happen. Well, that's right. It might happen. But if you don't do it, they might lose their soul for eternity. The idea of tough love that you hear people talk about. So there you have when we talk about the benefits of having a wise tongue. The benefits. You'll be a blessing to everybody. Now just think about the opposite now. If you don't, you're not going to bless anybody. With a foolish tongue. You'll calm people down. Calm down now. Calm down. Let's talk about it. It's pleasant to hear. People like it. And it comes with love. It comes with love. It teaches about God. It tells you this is how God talks. This is how God thinks. This is how God responds to things. And you give some people some wisdom. And it rebukes sin. That's the benefit. You'll be helping people. And in the meantime, some might get mad. Some may not like it. But that's what you have to do. Parents understand that. Now, here's something. Here's the value of having a wise tongue. This is what it says in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, with regards to how valuable is a wise tongue. Proverbs 10, verse 11. Proverbs 10 and verse 11. Look what it says. Proverbs 10 and verse 11. The mouth of righteousness is a well of life. Again, back then it meant a lot more than that. We might say it's like a refrigerator full of food. It's like a lake full of water or something like that. But it's a well of life. The well, you had to have water to live. And if you have a wise tongue, I tell you what, you'll live a long time. You'll never go empty in so many different ways. That's a well of life. Next, Proverbs 10:20. Look what it is. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. Again, silver and gold being the valuable things back then, it's like having silver. 12:18. What's the value of it? There is one who speaks lies, speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Isn't that something? And I think that's both ways. It promotes, of course, physical health first. I think that's the main thing here. But it's the whole body, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Yeah, that's what a tongue does. A tongue knows what to say. Say someone just totally upset and going through kind of just emotional problems. Okay, come down. Now, here's what you're going to do. You're going to have a tongue now that's going to be wise, and it's going to, okay, calm down. You know, you might say calm down. You might say it's going to be okay, because you're going to have pleasant words. You're not going to stir up anger. You're going to calm them down. Let's go. Come on. It's going. Let's talk about it. You'll have wisdom. You'll bring health to that person and health to yourself too, but you'll help other people. Again, 15:4. 15 in verse 4. The tree of life. We talked about, we know what that is. 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Tree of life. You read about it in Revelation. You want to have a part of the tree of life. That's what a wise tongue does. 20 verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Precious. Finally, 25:11. We used this a minute ago. 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold. Now here's something. I know what you're thinking. In James 3 and verse 8, it says, remember it talks about James chapter 3, it talks about the tongue. It's a little fire, it can burn a city, it can destroy the helm. It's like a helm on a ship, and it can move the ship as little as it is. And people say, yeah, but there's no way you can tame a tongue. There's no way. Sometimes things just slip out. Sometimes you just can't tame it. And the answer is, that's right, you can't tame it, but you can surely control it. Lions. You can't tame a lion. So what do they do with it? At the zoo, they put it in a cage. And there's some dogs you can't tame. But you can't control them. So what do? You put them on a leash when you take them for a walk. I don't know how many times during a year do you have someone run around your neighborhood and say, you see my dog, it got out. You know, you got to say, well, what's this called? Doesn't it come to you? Oh, it won't come to anybody. It just goes crazy, runs all over the place. Yeah, it's not tame. You see, that's okay. Animals are like that. You can't tame it, but you can control it, and we do that. We put them in cages. We have leashes, the zoo, all those kind of things. You can. Look at 16:23. We can all control our tongue. That doesn't mean there might be some times that you slip, but you'll slip less and less when you think about it more and more. 16:23. Listen to this verse. This is a great verse. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. Someone say, "Buddy, you got a filthy. You know why you have a filthy mouth? Because you got a filthy heart. If your heart's right, then it'll teach your words." And again, it's trying for you to visualize this. If your heart's right, what should your mouth say? Your mouth says to your heart, "What's some good words I can say? What's in your heart? Fill your heart with what? God's word, with His truth." And then your mouth, you can teach. That's what it says, 16:23. The wise, heart of the wise, it teaches his mouth. And look at this. And even adds learning to his lips. Your good heart will teach you. And you'll have a wise tongue. But you got to think before we speak. And sometimes if somebody just gives you the hardest time, a lot of times people say, well, husbands and wives, sometimes the one that advice some people give to a kid is a young person getting married. Say, well, if before you answer now, count to 10. You remember that? Not anymore. I say count to 100 and then keep going. You might have to count to 200. I don't know, 300. But the idea is think before you speak. And then sometimes don't even say anything. Take time to listen. Take time to answer. And if we'll do that, our friends, our families, our brethren, our neighbors, strangers, fellow students, everybody. They all deserve our best when it comes to our speech. God deserves to hear only the best from us because we're His instruments. We're His followers. We're His children. And we can do that. But we're going to have, as we talked about, we're going to have that tongue. That's wise. That helps other people. Let's go back just right there. Sorry, let me put this back. That's what we have to have, a wise use of the tongue. And we can do that. As I said, it's hard. We can control it. We can surely do that. Again, the benefits, there they are. And there's the value right there. Well, if you're a Christian and you haven't been using your tongue like you should, the Lord says you need to confess that wrong. Tell the Lord you're sorry. And then get about using your tongue, because you're going to have to give an account of every idle word. And if you're not a Christian, you're going to give an account of every idle word and your actions, and they haven't been godly. You need to repent of those actions, especially your words, and tell the Lord you're sorry and have them washed away by the blood of Jesus when you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And if we can help anybody in any way to get their life right, we would love to do that right now while we stand and sing.